City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 604. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
You're like Jolly Saint Nick right now. You have like your red and white sweater on. Although you're not heavy or fat or anything
no,
like that. But
yes.
You're jolly and gay.
Will you say that again?
You're not heavy or fat.
Thank you.
You're really svelte and very fit and look like you should be on some sort of trapeze or something. You look very like...
I look
a little Russian Santa right now.
You look Russian Santa.
A little like I expect you in the Nutcracker to pop out and start doing all the leaps. And you have your little red...
I'm a Lord of Leaping.
Your little Lord of Leaping. You've got your little hat on, your little toboggan. I used to call those toboggans.
Is that
what they're called?
No, a toboggan's a sled.
I know it is, but I called them toboggans when I was a kid.
It's a ski cap.
It's a ski cap.
I have a little red hat on.
You have a little cute red hat
But
on
I'm also wearing an orange sweater, so I...
It's kind of reddish, though, with the hat. I'm kind of making it work. And
basically
red,
pajamas.
Like, you look adorable.
Thank you.
I love that it's the week of Hanukkah, and we're sitting under the Christmas tree.
I know.
All aglow. I have my new ornament from Louisa.
I know, from Louisa, from Argentum Designs.
Yes.
She makes these beautiful
stained
glass.
What's her website?
It's argentumdesigns.com.
Argentum.
Argentum.
Uh-huh.
And
we'll put
she
that
makes
on the site.
The most gorgeous ornaments and
stained glass.
Stained glass and found glass and sea glass, and she... makes it. She made a little Christmas tree, and I gave one
to
Amy.
You know what? We should use our picture for Hanukkah. It's appropriate, isn't it? Can we use a star for Hanukkah?
Yeah, of course.
We need to use your little Louisa star.
That's a great idea.
Look in our show notes, guys. Even if you download us on the iTunes, and
yeah,
we'll
and you
the
can
Louisa's
see.
Little star,
we'll put a little
which
link
sits
to
in
her,
the window.
We can put a little link to her website because they make great presents.
Oh, I love mine.
And she can do a really
tree.
Quick turnover too.
Yeah. Well, it's Hanukkah, so you start getting gifts like
right.
One at a time. At a time.
Yeah, so the 8 days of Hanukkah.
Is it a big holiday for
the Jews? It is when you're
Jews?
Here's the deal. It is when you're a kid.
Because if you're a Jewish kid, you don't get to experience the same Christmas excitement that the kids
yeah, but
do.
I mean, the thing
is... Because I remember being like, when I really discovered that Hanukkah kids were getting gifts every day, I was like, why do I only get it one day?
I mean, listen, if you were from a rich Jewish family,
yeah.
You probably got nice gifts every day. I was from a very poor Jewish family. We were lucky if we got, you know,
a
an
can
orange.
Of mandarin
exactly
oranges.
Right.
I even got cans.
Oranges.
I don't know. It's not quite coal, but I actually was really excited when I got mandarin oranges. I used to get them in my stocking.
Well, you know
cans
what?
Of mandarin oranges.
Yeah. Well, you know what my mother used to do? It's funny because we weren't allowed to have a Christmas tree, right? But my mother would do this thing. You know, I talk a lot about how crazy my mother was, but every once in a while, I like to say some sweet things about my mom. And because we didn't have a Christmas tree, and remember, I lived on a dead-end street. There were five houses on the street. There were the DeSimones,
mm-hmm.
the Pescatellis,
mm-hmm.
the Lapracinas,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, everybody was Italian.
Yeah.
Everybody was Roman Catholic except for us. So there, it was Christmas Street,
yeah.
except for the Jewish Fanes, right?
Right.
And so not that my mother felt bad, but, you know.
Yeah.
So we could each have a stocking.
Oh, nice.
And so on Christmas Eve, she would hang our stocking, and she would fill it with, this was when we were real little, I mean, it stopped. almost immediately. But when we were really little, you know, we got presents in the morning and stuff like that. There was not under a tree, but under where she hung the stockings.
Right.
And each of our stockings, she'd put like an orange, and she'd put almonds, mm-hmm. and she'd put little like little gifts, like mm-hmm. you know,
little candies, but just
exactly stuff like that in our stockings. So when we woke up in the morning, our stockings were full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had presents, and that was really sweet. But like, here's the deal: Hanukkah is a holiday, lowercase h,
okay,
as opposed to a holy day,
which is right. like Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah,
Passover, right? Those mm-hmm. are the big ones. Hanukkah is a festival of lights. It's a celebration, right? Mm-hmm. So it has a different religious connotation. It's still a big deal, but it's really celebrated. It's really celebrated for kids. So.
Why is it blue and white? Do you know?
It's only because that's the colors of Israel.
That's the colors of Israel.
I mean, so it's like...
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's the
somebody
sort of,
needs to tell me why the, red and green guilty, is the color of
It's the
of
guilty
Christmas.
Progressive Americans who want to be like, but the Jewish kids too, right? It's like mm-hmm. the idea of a Hanukkah bush. There ain't no such thing.
It's a Hanukkah bush.
Although I say that because I have a tiny little tree up in my... Yeah. Up in the nook that has blue and and silver balls
I
on
mean,
it.
I mean, I have blue balls on my tree. Only on a queer podcast.
As long as you don't say that word. You know the word.
I'm trying to retire it. That's my New Year's resolution. That's the only New Year's resolution I'm making.
Retire the Yiddish word that's dirty that Amy didn't know was dirty.
I'm not going to say. But yeah, I actually, well, because mine's kind of, I've got lots of like silver blue. I like
your tree
blue,
is gorgeous.
But mostly it's red.
I love your topper. It's so beautiful.
I don't even have a whole box of ornaments on it.
You which, don't?
No.
It's so elegant.
I can't get there because they're all my mom. I'll tell you something about the difference with my family is that my mom gave me a sterling silver ornament every Christmas, and so I think she stopped giving them to me at like 28 or 30 because she was like, you have so many now. So right. I do have like 30 sterling silver ornaments.
Gorgeous.
And none of them are on the tree.
Weird.
I haven't put them on because it's just I got tired
after a certain after a certain age. You know what my mother started to give me for Christmas?
What?
A carton of cigarettes.
There you go.
White trash Jewish people.
Yep. Us right
I was just joking. I was talking about that with
you don't
with
smoke
Christopher.
Anymore,
I don't
say.
Smoke. I do not smoke anymore. It's been many years. In fact, here's my best Christmas present, Hanukkah present. I just found out yesterday.
Yeah.
I was chatting with my sister about what to get my nephew for Christmas.
Uh huh. That's exciting because he's like 15.
He'll be 15 January 1st. He's
kind of
he
cool.
was January. Really he was born January 1st, 2000. He's a New Year's baby. Millennial baby. But every year, my sister and I have a discussion about, like, because I want to be cool Uncle Mitchell, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, we'll have a discussion. She'll be like, well, this is what he would think was really cool.
He wants
this year.
Beats.
Right. He wants Beats, or he wants tickets to see WWE, or, like, you know, I try to get him something that, like, he'll be like, oh, Uncle Mitchell really knows me.
Right.
I mean, not that I don't, but it's like, I don't live there, so I want to be special Uncle Mitchell. Anyway, so we were chatting, and my sister said, by the way, I don't want to jinx it, but I haven't smoked in 10 days.
Oh, cool.
So. I was a smoker for a very long time, so I understand the appeal of it. I understand
it's an addiction.
I understand the addiction of it. I understand the difficulty in stopping.
Yeah.
And so I try not to be too judgmental with my sister. Mm. I'm actually more judgmental with my friends. Like, what are you still doing smoking? You know it's bad for you. But with my sister, I try to be gentler because.
Yeah.
I care even more.
Well, you don't want her not to talk to you or not
right,
feel
or not
like comfortable
share with
around
me.
You.
And so she told me that she hasn't smoked in 10 days. And so I'm just like, every day I'm just going to send like a little message of love.
That's what helped me. You know, the way I stopped smoking was I asked 5 people to hold me accountable.
That's what
I'm
trying to do.
And we did it via email. This was years ago, but we did it via email. My dad was one of them. And Di, who's our editor, was another one. And you know, it was this smattering. One woman who was doing it had cancer, and she's since passed. She did not have lung cancer, but she had cancer and has passed. And, you know, and so it just really held me accountable. I didn't even tell my then partner, who was a smoker and smoked in our house, that I was going to stop. I just did it without any fanfare.
Yeah.
But those 5 people emailed me daily. And the funny thing was that Di, our editor of the podcast, used to send me positive and negative reinforcements, and I never knew which one I was going to get via email. Like, she'd be like, here's a sexy picture of Diane Lane, and then she'd draw like an air bubble,
and here's a picture of a lung,
and then she would send me videos of like people who had had their larynx removed or statistics or, you know, things like that. And it really was good because I never knew what I was getting. Like, I never knew if I was getting a positive or negative, but they were both like, yay, you're doing well. And it just made me feel good. I, you know, I told them, I said, I should be emailing you once a day saying I didn't smoke today.
Yeah.
And honestly, and then when you do it like that, it just, I really think it's the most successful way to stop smoking.
I was really lucky because
I couldn't do it otherwise. Don't use the patch. The patch got me more addicted.
I know that for me, what happened was 4 years ago now, I had a sore throat, and it was right before the opening of Sanolin, mm-hmm. which is a one-man show.
Right.
And we've talked about it ad
nauseam. You're performing right now at
Theater Wit. I'm in the middle of performing, and so...
Go see it. You still can go see it through the end of
28th. December. Yeah, it runs through the 28th. And, you know, it's just me and my voice, right? Yeah. So I had a sore throat. And it was just a regular sore throat. You know, it wasn't like I wasn't like sick or anything. I just had a sore throat. And I thought, oh, I can't open the show with a sore throat. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I just won't smoke this week, right, prior to opening. And then once I get through opening, then I'll be fine. And then I made that sort of deal with myself.
Yep.
You know, because I thought it was unprofessional to make it worse. Which, in fact, it was unprofessional to make it worse. And so I didn't smoke. And then I thought, well, I wonder if I can get through the next weekend. Mm-hmm. Didn't smoke. And now it's been 4 years. So. Yeah. Kenohora poo,
I mean,
poo.
Yeah, Kenohora poo, poo, poo.
For the non-Jews, what Kenohora means is, basically it means nothing should go wrong.
Yeah.
It's a superstition. And then you have to, like my grandmother used to do, you have to knock three times. Doesn't have to be wood, just knock three times and say poo, poo, poo. Poo, poo, poo.
Yeah.
Kenohora poo, poo, poo. Nothing should go wrong. Everything should stay the same. It should
all
be
good. Yeah. And I mean, I know that about myself, that if I moved past being somebody who could casually smoke.
I'm the same way.
I have one,
I'm done.
I'd be back on the gravy train because I believe it is an extreme, extreme, extreme addiction. And
hey, listen, I grew up in the 1970s and 80s, so I have enjoyed my vices over the years.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky coming from a family that is rife mm-hmm. with addiction of all mm-hmm. kinds. I mean, mm-hmm. name an addiction, I can point to somebody in my family mm-hmm. who has it, whether it's food, mm-hmm. booze, drugs, gambling, cigarettes, sex, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
The drug that really has me by the balls, mm-hmm. by the blue balls, mm-hmm. actually they're not so blue, whatever, make of that what you may.
Yeah. Kenohara.
Kenohara poo poo poo. Is nicotine.
That's true.
That is
that
the
is
drug.
Mine too.
I've tried many, many things in my life and enjoyed the heck out of them. I don't recommend them. I'm just saying that I've tried them.
Yep.
The one drug that has me by the balls that I know I cannot ever do again without risk of becoming an addict again is nicotine.
That's exactly my story. And the funny thing is that I have had two shows since I stopped smoking where I had to smoke in the show. And I'm super, super, I hate watching it on stage, but as an actor, when I've had to be in that position, I'm super, super grateful you can't smoke even cloves in the city of Chicago on stage. And I've always even just been worried because I say men are more addicted to nicotine and women are more addicted to the behavior, the habit.
Well, because you're all secretly trying to, well, maybe we're all secretly trying to do, Bette Davis.
Oh, I just think we're all secretly trying to stop and breathe. You know, for me, it was just my meditation.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It was like
well, that's
my
part
crazy
of the addictive
20s,
part of it.
Right? It was like, it was my escape and it allowed me to leave.
If you're at a party and you're feeling insecure, like social anxiety, and you walk outside and you're standing by yourself, you look like a weirdo. Not really, but in our minds. If you step outside by yourself to smoke...
Yeah.
Then you just look like you're going to have a smoke break.
That's right.
Right. And it is a pause.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I totally knew, which no one ever understood. I was like, I could never have a drink of alcohol again. It would never bother me. But I never want to be at a party or an event or a dinner or anything where I didn't get to have a cigarette.
I know.
And so I just know
way.
For myself, like, I cannot casually do it.
So let's put some, like, Christmas
magic. But we hope
Hanukkah
that somebody
to my
out
sister.
There. Yeah, and
so
your
Sandy,
sister especially.
Sandy, keep strong. Stick with it. I know you can do
a
it
day at a time.
My sister is this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous
if
mom.
You want me to join the daily email, I totally should give that back. So if you want to email her,
I will talk to her because I'm just going to try
it. Really helped me. And I know too Cynthia, who's been our bisexual voice on the CareerCast, she stopped in a very, very similar way. And she did it now. Nowadays, there's more, I think, websites and stuff that will keep you and tell you every day how much money you've saved and how much.
You can sign up
and
for
you
those
can,
things, right?
And I think it's free. I think there's like an app. And I mean, I think even that's affirming, it just to see the benefits of what you're doing. And I think by now, my lungs should be almost
to
pink.
I just got tested, you know, like I had like a full checkup, right? Yep. Like a whole workup, like stress test and lungs. And after 4 years, my lungs are
really
are clear.
Yeah. Well, it happens quick. Hey, well, that's, I guess, our Christmas gift. We've given some tips.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. That was a surprise topic,
it's very important.
It is important.
It's very, very
important. And I'm proud
of
my sister for, I know it's only been 10 days, but I'm really proud of it. It's the beginning of a really tough journey, and I'm just sending out all my love to her.
Well, honestly, I will say, it's one of the addictions, though. When I got past not too long, I didn't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
And the smell of it really bothered me.
Yeah.
And it became really nice that my clothes and my car and my everything didn't smell like it. And it became really nice not to have to determine when I was going to get to smoke.
Expensive.
And you save money. Honestly, if you just took that money
here in
every
Chicago
day,
specifically, it is so expensive.
Well, it was
to
expensive
smoke.
Even back then when I was smoking. But if you, and that's another tip, you know, take that money and just create a box or a jar or a drawer and just put that in. Like every time you want a cigarette,
think about
go
it.
Put $5.
If you smoke a pack a day, ten bucks.
Bucks in
a, you know, it's 365 times 10. I mean,
it's some money.
That's some money.
It's true. Hey, we're going to talk more about the end of the season, Christmas, Hanukkah, things to do, and also the announcements of the Golden Globes. We brought some gift nominations to some friends and cronies of ours. So we're going to break and tell you what's going on in the news this week and some shows you can go see. Also, don't forget Mitchell in Santaland. I went to go see it with
eight or nine
of my friends.
It was a group.
We brought people in that were in visiting from England and Scotland, and it was a little
international event.
It was an international event. My visit to Santa Land, and but go see Mitchell. The show is better than ever. It really, really, really
Thanks,
is.
Amy.
And we'll be right back after this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
After a four-hour public hearing and months of debate, the Miami-Dade County, Florida Commission voted 8-3 to add protections for transgender people to its four-decade-old human rights ordinance. The move extends legal protections, prohibit discrimination in housing, public accommodations, and employment based on gender identity or gender expression.
Also in Florida, same-sex couples throughout the state could begin marrying next month. After a federal appeals court ruled that a stay in the state's gay marriage ban case will be lifted at the end of the day, January 5th. A federal judge based in Tallahassee ruled in August that the state's gay marriage ban is unconstitutional, but stayed his decision until January 5th to give the state time to appeal.
Senator Rob Portman, the Republican, says he is not running for president in 2016. Portman was mentioned as a potential GOP vice presidential pick before and comes from the crucial swing state of Ohio. Portman supports same-sex marriage, a stance that could have brought contention in a Republican presidential primary.
The Department of Justice announced December 8th that profiling on the basis of religion, gender, national origin, sexual orientation, and gender identity by federal law enforcement agencies will be banned. Attorney General Eric Holder wanted to issue these policies before he steps down. The new policy means that federal law enforcement officers cannot use these characteristics as the basis for making routine or spontaneous law enforcement decisions, like traffic stops.
A federal appeals court ruled that same-sex marriages will not be allowed in Mississippi while the state defends its gay marriage ban. On November 25th, U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves overturned Mississippi's definition of marriage as being only between a man and a woman, but he put his own decision on hold for 2 weeks to give the state time to appeal his ruling. On December 4th, the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said Mississippi cannot issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples during the appeals process.
Minnesota's high school sports league passed a set of guidelines for transgender student athletes. The policy, which will take effect next school year, allows transgender athletes to pick the team that fits with their gender identity. It also provides an appeal process for students whose schools turn down their requests.
The Washington, D.C. Council voted to ban conversion therapy that seeks to turn gay teenagers into heterosexuals. The unanimous council vote puts the district in the rare company of only California and New Jersey to ban the practice.
A Maine court has awarded the family of a transgender girl $75,000 in a settlement of her discrimination lawsuit against a school district where administrators made her use a staff, not student, bathroom. Student Nicole Maines won her lawsuit against the Orono School District before the Maine Supreme Judicial Court, which ruled that the school district violated the Maine Human Rights Act. It was the first time a state high court in the U.S. concluded that a transgender person should use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify.
A 12-year-old boy from Folsom, California, committed suicide after schoolmates had reportedly bullied him for being a cheerleader. Ronan Shimizu, a former sixth grader enrolled at Folsom Middle School, was taken out of school to be homeschooled after intense harassment from fellow students. The harassment centered around Ronan being the only boy cheerleader.
An Arkansas high school has canceled a program of speeches traditionally given by members of the homecoming court. And students say it's because one participant initially wanted to talk about being a lesbian. Quitman High School administrators said the speeches were removed because the program was becoming too lengthy. However, students and staff say the removals were spurred because of an unidentified 15-year-old student who gave the speech in question during a rehearsal for the ceremony.
Lincoln, Nebraska Mayor Chris Buettler has approved changes that will allow same-sex spouses of city employees to receive health insurance and other benefits. He decided to accept Blue Cross and Blue Shield's definition of marriage, which includes same-sex marriages.
In world news, Russian President Vladimir Putin has reiterated his claim that his country is not anti-gay. The Russian leader said during an address that healthy family and traditional values were among Russia's top priorities. Last year, Putin signed into law bills that prohibit the promotion of homosexual propaganda to minors and bans adoptions by gay parents.
A Latvian politician has stepped down after a series of anti-gay tweets. Inga Pryd, the head of the Unity Party, tweeted, "Thank God Nazis shot gays." Pryd went online to discuss same-sex marriage with her fellow party members, but her tweets directed toward Latvian gays caused a firestorm.
Poland's first ever gay mayor, Robert Biedron, has officially taken up his office. Biedron, 38, has become the mayor of Słupsk, which has 90,000 residents.
Ireland's prime minister has been photographed enjoying a drink in a gay bar. Inda Kenny joined the Fine Gael LGBT group who were having a Christmas get-together drink in Pantabar in Capel Street, Dublin.
Canadian figure skater Eric Radford has come out publicly as a gay man. Radford was part of the team that won the silver medal at the Olympic Games in Sochi this year.
Security guards at a gym in Austria are stripping off and going undercover to stop men having sex in the sauna. Staff at the Parkbad Fitness Center in Linz, Austria, decided to go on an all-out offensive to tackle the problem of same-sex hookups, pushing away other customers.
In entertainment news, Madonna tops a new list of the world's wealthiest recording artists. Her net worth is $800 million, putting her ahead of Paul McCartney's $660 million. Others in the top 10 include Diddy, Celine Dion, Bono, Mariah Carey, Jay-Z, Elton John, and Beyonce.
Speaking of Madonna, she's replacing Lady Gaga as the face of Versace. Madonna was unveiled as the new face of Versace's Spring-Summer 2015 campaign. She's also working on a new album and will have a reggae dancehall single produced by Diplo out next year.
Celebrity fashion stylist Brad Goreski revealed on the show Fashion Police that he's been engaged to partner Gary Jannetty since August. Jannetty is known for his writing and producing skills on shows such as Will & Grace and Family Guy. He's currently hard at work overseeing Vicious, a popular British sitcom that stars Sir Ian McKellen and Sir Derek Jacobi.
CNN anchor Anderson Cooper was mysteriously MIA from his show Anderson Cooper 360. Cooper tweeted that a bout of appendicitis was responsible for his absence. He began experiencing stomach pains while reporting on the protests and civil unrest in Ferguson, Missouri. He has since returned.
Actress Saffron Burroughs has married longtime girlfriend Allison Ballian, a writer for Ellen DeGeneres' talk show. They have been together for more than 6 years and have a 2-year-old son. The actress is currently starring in the Amazon series Mozart in the Jungle.
Lily Tomlin, Tom Hanks, Sting, Al Green, and ballerina Patricia McBride were feted during the Kennedy Center Honors Gala on December 7th. Among those saluting Tomlin were Jane Fonda, Jane Lynch, Kate McKinnon, and Reba McEntire. The 37th Kennedy Center Honors airs December 30th on CBS.
Chicago's About Face Theater received a $10,000 NEA grant to support the development of the Babe Didrikson Project with book and lyric by Sarah Gubbins. The musical will portray Babe Didrikson, a famous early 20th century lesbian athlete who dominated golf, basketball, and track and field.
Directed by Golden Globe winner and Academy Award nominee Angela Bassett, the world premiere of Whitney, based on the life of singer Whitney Houston, will air Saturday, January 17th on Lifetime. Houston's vocals in the film are sung by Grammy-nominated entertainer Deborah Cox.
And country singer Ty Herndon walked the red carpet with his partner Matt Cullum at the Trevor Live LA benefit, marking their first joint public appearance. The annual event marks 16 years of life-saving work by the Trevor Project, which provides crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to LGBTQ teens and young adults. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey guys, this is Elizabeth Kina, and you're on the Windy City Queercast. Have a good one.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 15th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Steppenwolf Theater presents Broadway Bound, Airline Highway, a new play set in New Orleans about a ragtag collection of strippers, hustlers, and philosophers, a boisterous and moving ode to the outcast to make life a little more interesting. Heading to Broadway in the spring of 2015, see it first at Steppenwolf. Learn more at steppenwolf.org.
Chicago Shakespeare invites you to set sail on Shakespeare's miraculous odyssey, Pericles, filled with adventure, romance, wonder, and redemption. Hailed as one of North America's best classical performers by the Chicago Tribune, Stratford Festival actor Ben Carlson takes on the title role beginning November 30th. For tickets to Pericles, visit chicagoshakes.com.
On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the smash hit rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit MillionDollarQuartetLive.com, now playing at the Apollo Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller, Bueller, post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
We light the candles of Chanukah, oh Chanukah, oh. Come see the candles of Chanukah, oh Chanukah, oh. We light the candles of Chanukah. Oh, Chanukah, oh. Come see the candles of Chanukah, oh, Chanukah, oh. We light the candles of Chanukah,
one for each night,
oh, Chanukah,
the sweet light of Chanukah.
Come see the candles of Chanukah,
one for each night,
oh, Chanukah,
the sweet light of Chanukah.
So, Mitchell, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you so
the
much.
The small
Amy,
H holiday.
Right, exactly.
I really like now that I know that.
Think of it as a celebration. It's a
well,
festival.
Well, that's
of
how
lights.
I think we ought to think. I mean, you know, it depends on. It's interesting, you know, because Christmas is such a smattering of religious and pagan and,
right,
and secular. And, it, you know, it really is.
Yeah,
the
like what does this tree have
well,
to do
well, the tree
with?
Has to do with, like, I think solstice and
St. Right, exactly.
Nick, which,
right.
And then, you know, Nicholas right. has nothing to do
I'm
with
just saying
the Bible,
that, like, these trees
Jesus
did not grow in
and
the
nativities.
Desert.
No. and Jesus and the nativity and all that have to do with, you know, the origins of Christianity and you know, I mean, everything is you know, and then commercialism has to do with corporate greed, right. Exactly. You know, probably from America.
Well, that's my joke. That's a joke about, like, I'm a Jewish man who I wait, like, biting my nails. Wait, I don't bite my nails, but, like, metaphorically biting my nails until Thanksgiving so I can go into my iTunes, recheck all of my Christmas songs, of which I have about 1,000,
yeah.
And then put them back on my iPod,
yeah.
Right? Because I love Christmas music. I love it, I love it, I love it.
So do you just have your iPod playing Christmas music? Is that right. What you do? You go through and check everything?
Well, you can check it real quick. I mean, you can just check. It's like, if you know how to do it, you can just do it with one check, and you check all of them, and then yeah. So then I'll uncheck them when yeah. I'm done with Christmas, and then they come off your iPod, right? Mm-hmm. Only check songs if you mm-hmm. do it right. You only check songs gone. So I have a playlist that's Christmas music mm-hmm. that I take off, you know.
So you put all your Christmas songs on one playlist,
exactly.
And then
I check or uncheck them for the. Oh yeah, I'll show you how to do it. It's really easy. And so so this idea of this.
And it's primarily Jewish people who wrote the songs.
Irving Berlin wrote Christmas.
Or sings them now.
Right. Exactly, right.
Who is the good people singing them?
I mean, for real.
Mariah Carey's not Jewish.
I know, but Barbara's Christmas is still the best,
right? But
Barbara
and...
Well, the joke this year, no offense, Di, but Idina Menzel yelling her way through Silent Night is one of the most hilarious things. It's great, but at the same time, it's called Silent Night, and she is belting her way through Silent Night. I think it's supposed to be silent.
I think it's supposed to be quiet.
Then you hear Barbara's version, and it's so quiet. Like, Barbara can belt, but it's so quiet and lovely,
yeah.
Right? But my point is that, like, there's this trumped up every year, there's this, like, trumped up war on Christmas thing. It's like, if there's Christmas decorations in Walgreens during Halloween, there mm-hmm. is no war on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Everyone relax. If I want to say Happy Holidays mm-hmm. instead of Merry Christmas...
I don't even hear that argument anymore to me. That argument was very... Early
well,
2000s
here's
or
the deal. 1999. Here's the deal why
I don't hear it anymore.
Here's the deal why it's a false offense. The word holiday includes the word holy.
Right.
When somebody says happy holidays, they're just including everyone's holy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uppercase H.
Yeah.
Holy day. Yeah. Holiday.
Yeah.
That's what it means. It doesn't mean yeah. holly like holly and ivy.
Yeah.
It means holy day.
Yeah.
So if someone says to you, happy holiday, they're including
yeah.
your faith.
Yeah.
They're just including everyone else's too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's all happening.
Absolutely. It is all happening.
No war on Christmas, people. Not in this house.
It's like, besides not in this house. We're celebrating Hanukkah this week.
Hanukkah.
We got solstice next week and Kwanzaa.
I don't have anyone in my
life. I always get invited to solstice parties and I can't ever go because I'm heading to Tennessee, which would be a perfect place to have a solstice party because I have like farmland and woods and all that. And I get invited to solstice parties in Chicago.
I wish I knew somebody who celebrated, like seriously celebrated Kwanzaa, and I don't actually know anyone.
I don't either.
Like, who sort of like celebrates it or
okay, somebody needs to invite Mitchell and I to a
Kwanzaa party.
We want
to
come.
I don't know what that's all about.
I've never been. I've been to solstice parties. They're really fun.
I want to get my Kwanzaa on.
But I want to get my Kwanzaa on.
I'm going to get my solstice on.
Can I get a t-shirt that says that? I want to get my Kwanzaa. Will we offend people? Probably.
I don't know.
I think you would probably.
I feel like it wants to be inclusive, you know.
Yeah.
I want to do it all.
Yeah.
I want the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's what I like. I mean,
I've been to a Seder.
You have?
Yeah.
You've been to like a Passover Seder or like a weekly Seder?
A Passover Seder.
It's so good, right?
It's cool.
I love it.
I live in a one, but it's been a
it's
long time.
It's my favorite holiday.
I love the food. It's cool to like, you know, yeah, I think it's cool to experience people's faith and practices and cultures. And
I like the culture and the practices and the food.
Ritual. I mean, I love
music.
Ritual. It's very theatrical. I mean, all of faith and spirituality is around ritual, you know?
I was just saying this about, this is a little bit of a side note, but like I was talking about dance in Chicago. And
I love dance in Chicago.
And I know there's so much dance in Chicago. And I was saying one of the things I love is every group, every mm-hmm. culture, every country mm-hmm. has an indigenous dance.
Yes.
And I am always, always down mm-hmm. to see any culture, any country's indigenous dance.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's an authentic version of what it is, I don't care what, mm-hmm. I don't care if I've never even heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's always beautiful.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about people's rituals, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as long as it's not hateful or like you know,
right.
Satanistic.
Sinister.
Or something like that. Like, sinister. I'm always down.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
So I know you have, you and I will not be together. We always talk on Christmas Day, yeah. but you were never together on Christmas Day, but I know you have your ritual. And I assume that most homosexuals are going to have a Christmas time ritual of seeing Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. I guess I shouldn't assume, but well, I would assume many will.
Let me say something. Can I make a statement to the homosexuals listening right now?
Yes.
Specifically the gay men. I know that there are women who love the Sondheim as well. If you are a gay man.
Yes.
And you do not go out and support mm-hmm. this Stephen Sondheim musical starring Meryl Streep on Christmas morning so that it becomes the number one movie in the country that week. Well, I just don't know what to say to you. I know that we will not be friends.
I know that.
And if we're Facebook friends, I will unfriend you. I'm just saying. It is your civic.
It's a gay activist act.
It is a civic duty.
And you're going to see cute Johnny Depp, who the lesbians love, and cute Chris Pine, who the gay men love.
And let me tell you something really nice. If you go to the first showing, which I always do, mm-hmm. it will be you and 8 old Jewish ladies. And there is nothing better.
And they will love you.
They will love you. They will talk to you. They will talk during the movie.
Yes, they will take care of you afterward if you need to go have some
Right, soup. And sometimes they might need a little help going down the stairs at the stadium once, so yeah. you help them.
You get to be of service. That
you get to be of service.
Good.
It's what happens. I'm actually thinking that... I think, if I'm not mistaken, the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie opens that same day.
Oh.
So I think I might do a Dubs feature.
Wait, is that still Alice? No.
No.
What is he doing?
I can't remember what it's called right now, but
okay.
Sheila O'Malley, a film critic right. extraordinaire that we've talked about many times, she really loved it. So I think
well,
I might do a...
It's Paul Thomas Anderson.
And Joaquin Phoenix.
It's probably why I think that Julianne Moore's in it, because she's almost always in
his
film.
Yeah, I mean, it looks amazing. And so I might do a double feature, but definitely sometime.
I think she is in his film. No, she's in the new Cronenberg film. That would be really fun. That would be really fun.
I like to go to the movies in the morning.
Because Pitch Perfect is coming out, too,
Pitch Perfect
this week.
Too, right.
And then, Pitch Perfect 2, Guilty Pleasure.
Guilty Pleasure.
So much fun.
I love...
Anna Kendrick is having this season.
She is, because then she's doing Last 5 Years.
Yeah, she's doing Last 5 Years.
I like another Christmas musical. Morning movie, and then I like Middle Eastern food.
Oh, you've changed it up.
Yeah, I do Chinese food.
Do you go to Taste of Lebanon on Foster?
No, you know where I go? I go to Andy's on Clark Street for Christmas dinner. Christmas Eve, I go to Argyle, that mm-hmm. area, and I go to and get Chinese
mm-hmm.
On Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Like we order like a roast duck.
And is it filled with... Do you go to the place where you get the whole duck?
The whole thing.
I love that. Like that feels like a huge like cafeteria.
I think
Rahm Emanuel was in there the last time
so
we
much.
Went.
It's so good. We don't go to that one because that one's too... That's Tank. That's too...
No, not Tank.
Oh.
No, not Tank. It's north of there. It's like literally called like Peking... I mean, you get like Peking
oh, yeah, not
duck.
Yeah, we get Peking duck, but we go to a different place.
Oh,
I think
okay.
we're going to Sinhua.
This place is enormous.
And so... It's exciting, and I love it.
That's so fun.
It's so
fun.
I
wouldn't mind doing that. You know,
it's
since
fun.
Since my grandmother passed this year, this will be
I know,
a
God
little sadder in some ways, but she hated this time of year.
She did?
She hated it. You know, my grandfather died right before her 50th wedding anniversary, and they were married on Christmas Eve. And I said, why did you get married on Christmas Eve? And she was like, well, you know, we had started our company in the Depression, and... You know, we were working all the time before that, and she said, and we knew we had the day off. Like, we got married because that was the day we had off. I mean, like, this is a different work ethic from people
right.
who think, I should have 2.5 or 3 weeks paid vacation, you know?
Right, exactly.
My grandmother's like, when can we pause to get married?
Right.
You know, different generation.
Oh, my God, there's so much
The greatest
different.
Generation.
I mean, even the way we celebrate Christmas with the commercialism and the craziness
right.
is so
right.
different. I mean,
so they got married on Christmas Eve, but her mother died on Christmas Day.
Oh.
And so I just, you know, and my grandfather died in early December. So whenever December would roll around, you know, if I was calling my grandmother right now, she'd be saying, you know, oh, I just hate this time of year. I just, you know, I never liked December. Like I heard that for 40 years of my life, you know. And so... But my parents, you know, had always said because, I mean, honestly, when your grandmother hits about 89 or 90, you kind of start thinking, this is the last time I'm going to see her. And my parents would start saying, you know, well, after your grandmother passes, you know, maybe we'll consider coming to Chicago. Well, and then she lives to be 105, almost 106, you know.
How rude.
But I honestly, I know, she's willful. I don't want them to ever go to Chicago for
so
Christmas.
So willful.
But I think that, you know, maybe next year, you know, if I'm podcasting, maybe we'd all hang out in you know, Shea Matheny, the house in the
Let's do a family
nook.
Pod podcast all and on we the could table.
Go. My dad would be my dad, who could not be a stronger Christian, but inclusive. He is one of the, you know, he is like me. He is one of the good, you know, we're fighting the good fight from the inside. And more I meet more and more people. I'm hoping to actually do some interviews with some great people. I just heard of this guy from a minister that I'm very close to, a woman minister who left the Baptist church because they wouldn't let her preach. So now she's a Methodist. But she told me about this guy named Dr. Gushy, who is a professor who is a fundamentalist Baptist. Well, not evangelical Baptist. We've discussed the difference in that. He's a professor of ethics, and he has now written a book that is, and he's written 20 books. He is well celebrated as a Baptist voice, writing ethics, writing about religion. And his new book, which came out this year, and he delivered a huge paper in October or November to Washington, D.C., to an enormous Baptist conference, was, "We have gotten this whole thing on homosexuality wrong."
Wow.
And it is a radical book. And I want to get him on the podcast because, I mean, I think it will take people, because Christian principles, whether you believe them, whether you just look at it as like, hey, I know you think, you know, this is a fairy tale of books. And I do believe it's a book of stories written by men, you know, to try to grapple with. But whatever you believe, if people decide that there are principles in it, especially the New Testament, that they want to live their life by, which are, to me, Christ-like principles, which I can't find anything bad if you lived your life in Christ-like principles.
Right.
Like that part of the Bible.
Sure.
I can't, you know.
I'm with you there.
Go talk to prostitutes, help people, you know, be abundant with food and wine and caring and selfless and, you know, give of yourself. I mean, you know. Love
help
your neighbor.
Helping an old Jewish lady down the steps.
Helping
after
an old Jewish lady
the
down.
The
Christ
movie.
Would had. Christ
Thank
would have
you.
Been at the Sondheim musical. Would have been in solidarity with the gays.
I'm not so sure that Sondheim isn't Christ.
He would have had sandals on. I mean, straight men don't wear sandals.
And they do in Rhode Island.
And he would have had a beard like you, you know, longer. And his hair would have been kind of long and hippie-ish. And he would have been a cool dude. You know, yep. been a cool dude, like hanging out with the Jewish ladies. And he would have gone to the neighborhood and had the Peking duck. You know what I mean?
Agree.
I mean, he would have. And he would have invited a lot of people who couldn't have afforded to.
Exactly.
And somehow he did his voodoo magic and it became like Peking ducks for everybody.
Right.
But it's, you know, but whatever. I mean, this man, I mean, it's a pretty radical gesture. Anyhow, I just sidebar. But it is around Christmas.
I think it's extraordinary.
To me, it's like, I do believe that in the same way we can say corporate America and greed has gotten Christmas all wrong. I mean, I do believe that, you know, you know, and why I've talked a lot around religion, and I've had people who study Kabbalah and who are Latter-day Saints and Catholic and Jewish and Christian and, you know, everything on the show, is because I just want gay people to feel like we get to have an experience where we grapple with and question, could find solace, could find strength or whatever from a sense of faith. And it might be faith in people. It may be faith in your fellow man. It might be faith in a group. It might be faith in whatever. I don't actually care. I'm not here to like proselytize and tell people, I want you to be Christian. But
here's my request. Here's my.
But I'm excited to talk to this man. Like, I'm like, dude, like, how brave. To say I was wrong.
What you've said has hit on something that's been very big for me in the past couple weeks and some conversations I've had on social media. I know some people think that having conversations on social media is silly, but I would
intense conversations.
I would counter that
media.
By saying it's not going away.
Yeah.
So this is my challenge to people of faith.
Yeah.
I am not without my own faith. It just doesn't look like
most
people. So, but this is my challenge to people of faith. If you feel that someone says something, if you feel that someone has said that's judged all Christians specifically about their views on homosexuality, please do not come onto my Facebook page and chastise me for that. What I would like you to do is go onto your page and chastise the homophobes. So until you've gone on your own page and said, I, as a Christian, denounce all people who say these hateful things about homosexuals and gay and lesbian people and transgender people and queer people because they are perfectly normal and deserving of love. Until you do that first, do not come on my page and get defensive about something I've posted about some virulent homophobe,
right?
Which I love about this guy you're talking about, because what he's done, he's gone out and he's done that. but he's done it on even more than his Facebook page. Yeah. He's written a book and said, "We've gotten this wrong, guys.
Yeah.
So don't be mad at me for having for being upset that people say mean things about me.
Yeah.
Go on your page and tell the people who align themselves with you that they're the ones who are in error.
Right.
That they're the ones who have fallen out of Christ's doctrine."
Yeah. Yeah.
Do that first, and then we can have an argument. Then we can discuss, and we can go back and forth, and we can get heated, and we can love each other and have coffee afterwards.
Yeah.
But do that first.
Yeah. But I guess I have no interest in debating anybody on what they believe. I just don't want them to debate me on what I believe.
I'm okay with debating.
In terms of
that,
like I don't care what you believe, mm-hmm. but I don't want you to call everybody who believes what I believe ignorant. And I mean, Bill Maher pushes the line with that. I'm not saying that he's not for his people or people who believe, possibly more like you, that it's not more in line. But it's like, I don't need to hear that. I'm not going to tell you that because you think you believe in nothing.
Right.
That like you're going to turn
my
to.
My point is this: if I post the thing about
that's not your point.
If I post a story about that horrible guy in New Zealand that sort of made the rounds, everyone knows what I'm talking about. If I post that, please don't come on my page and say, as a Christian, I'm offended that you would post this. There are so many Christians. Right. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to go look at your page. What I have not seen on your page is you posting this and going, hey, guys, fellow Christians, let's everybody tell each other that this guy's bad.
Right.
Don't do that.
But it would be cool if you post this gushy, because I don't even think same people know about it.
I
would love to. Do you know what I mean? So I think that it takes all of us using it as a tool for information. It's just like, I see it as shining a light. It's like, I need to shine a light that this person is saying horrible, hateful things in the name of Christianity. Which I will say can make a person feel defensive. It would be like somebody saying, well, and I discussed this on the 600 show. It's like, I don't always want to say that because I get an AP story about another pedophiliac or something, that belongs anywhere in my gay news.
Right.
And so sometimes I feel like I want to say, that person is so not Christian that I don't care what he calls himself. Right. Please don't make me have to defend myself because of that person.
Right, but my point is, You don't have to defend that person. All you have to say is to fellow Christians, say, hey, let's all get together as Christians and denounce
this
guy.
Well, maybe that's what my radical act will be this week on Facebook. Maybe I will start, like this, if this is how you feel, celebrating Christmas as a Christian this holiday. And I'll see how many people like it.
I love it.
That might be a really cool thing to do.
I love it.
You maybe inspired me. And maybe I'll, and I became Facebook friends with Dr. Gushy. I friended him and he immediately, so if he looked at my profile and sees that we have a podcast and he knows who I know.
Let's get this guy out there. I love this.
We're going to get him on. So just to kind of, we've created like, we are radical this holiday. But you know what? Here's the thing.
Also, it's funny because Amy and I, not that we plan what we're going to talk about.
We don't ever.
We have like an agenda like, hey, let's
talk about Christmas. Let's talk about Hanukkah.
This. Today, I think we just had a conversation.
We did.
It just happened to be recorded.
We always have a conversation that happens to be recorded. but except for when I say the Jewish Yiddish word that I should not be saying.
Don't say it.
And we don't record
that. Not at the holidays.
But you know what's interesting, and I'll kind of wrap up with this, is that, to me, my dad is kind of a minister of sorts. And I remember my dad preaching a sermon, probably as like a lay minister. They'd give a time when either during Advent or something, that they would let a person who's not of the cloth get up and preach. And I remember my dad preaching this either at one of those services or Sunday school, which he teaches. I mean, if you kind of want to know who my dad is kind of Jimmy Carter with no sandals and no hippie. He has no hippie in him, but he's kind of like, or a peanut farm, and he loves peanuts. but he's just kind of that guy, He's got a little more razzmatazz than Carter, but I teach Sunday school every morning on Sunday mornings and everything. And he taught one, and he was talking about the radical aspect of Christ and the radical aspect of the holiday and the radical aspect of whatever you believe of this idea of this child being born and these people knowing and seeing and how it's just like this, it's this kind of, and then the things that he then did, his 30 some odd, barely 30, years of life, like kind of the radical acts. Right. Like he would have been a renegade if he was walking.
He's a radical Jewish guy.
He's a radical Jewish guy. I.e. Mitchell Fain, who is in my life one day at a time, just like Jesus. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says, just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus.
But But, you know, but I think that we've talked about, you know, radical changes that we make in our life, stopping smoking, you know, radical conversations that are like, you know, and we have a podcast for LGBT people and their allies to listen to, you know. It's like,
I think ultimately, you know, the most radical act, unfortunately, and fortunately, the radical act is to take care of each other.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, God, there's nothing more about radical, Christmas and the
to take care action of, each other.
Yeah.
Let's just take care of each other. How about that?
I think so. You're so cute in your little hat right now.
Thank you.
Hey, we want to give a big shout out to our friend Alexandra Billings and all the folks over at Transparent. Transparent
amazing.
Got Golden Globe nominations, and we'll have a Golden Globe show around the globes in January here or whenever they are.
It's talk about a radical show.
But radical show, it bumped out of the best comedy category, Modern Family, and I thought. Because all the other nominees, I think, are the same, except for Modern Family is not there, and Transparent is there. And I thought, wow, is this a radical moment when we thought this family was something that was, oh, my God, can you believe Mitch and Cam are coming into people's homes? Right. And the messed up family that is so gender effed and crazy
right.
and whatever.
So many questions and variations. And
no
so
real
loving.
Boundaries. And yet so loving and messy and contemporary,
like most of
sure.
our families,
right?
Contemporary, messy, and loving
is nominated. So, and Jeffrey Tambor, which will be amazing to have somebody portraying a trans character. I don't know that that's happened that a
on television
that a cisgendered person is playing trans and is nominated since like Felicity Huffman.
Well, it's Jared Leto
and Harriet. Well, yeah, it's the fourth one. Yeah. Hilary Swank,
right?
Jared Leto. Felicity Huffman
and now
Jeffrey Tambor. So,
girl, congrats.
Pretty amazing and amazing for that show. And
Jill Salloway.
Yeah, Jill and Faith Salloway. So, next week, Matt Simonette and Andrew Davis are going to sit on the couch, maybe, or we may have to sit at the table, but I'm going to be in the house and we're going to do a year in review show telling you what is going on or what has gone on in 2014, a look back. Can you believe it?
Oof, it's a big year.
Big year. 2014, a big year in local, national, world news, and of course, entertainment and pop culture, which is always my favorite. So we'll have that with the boys next week. But happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Happy Hanukkah.
Get your last Christmas gifts in order if you're doing
yeah,
that
check
craziness.
Check on the website so you can get a link to Louisa's Louisa DeLuca at Argentum Designs, the most gorgeous, original, homemade ornaments.
Oh, so sweet. Yeah. I love mine. And I love you.
I love you too.
Love you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week and enjoy the holiday season.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.